You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, Nintendo also goes mobile, sort of, and announces their next console, sort of. Vink hasn't been playing Fire Emblem, and I've been trying to play Zelda. Just, really, Nintendo? Really? I mean, come on, really? Really? This week's episode of the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is brought to you, unofficially, by listener Pat O. You too can sponsor an episode by going to littlepodcast.com, selecting Famicom Dojo from the drop-down, and clicking the donate button. Or you can just write a super gushy fan letter to our Facebook page and convince us to bump our already recorded podcast. Because that's basically the same thing. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Hey, Vank.
Hey.
So what do you call it when it's not just a Vink was wrong, but a Sean was wrong?
I don't know. Tuesday?
Oh, no. Listen, I mean, people are probably aware of this by now, but like, what happened? The last big piece of news that broke was the whole Nintendo Club Nintendo thing going down. Well, we were like, we had just recorded an episode of the podcast complaining about how there's like nothing on there, and then like hours later we find out it's shutting down for good and they've released a whole bunch of stuff. Digital mostly, mind you, but still. And then we were in the embarrassing position of having to release that podcast that week anyway. And then our immediately previous episode to this one had to do with how Sega went mobile and Nintendo. That's something Nintendo would never do.
That Nintendo was holding out and that criticizing the decision Sega was making while at the same time going, well, at least Nintendo doesn't do that. So what did we call that episode? What did we name it?
Sega is dead, long live Sega.
Oh, okay. But I mean, I think part of it was like, was in the end, like, Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah.
Go mobile.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that now Sega does what Nintendo also does. Because they are going mobile. And
but not in the same way.
Well, no. I mean, they're... And that's... You know, I think that's the biggest issue about this is that Nintendo's like, big announcement, no announcement, you know? They're like, we're going to partner with this company. We're not going to show you any of the games we're going to do. And, oh, we're releasing a new console. No details.
Right. I mean, so for those who don't know exactly what happened, Nintendo announced a partnership with DNA, who is one of the, I guess, the big upcoming mobile developers in Japan.
For now.
well
I mean, yeah.
There was a stock swap.
There was
an equivalent value stock swap that happened. So now Nintendo's the number two investor in DNA, and DNA is probably like the number 3 millionth in Nintendo.
But
they're in this for the long haul. You know, as long as the haul is, I guess. But
I guess that's what scares me a little bit, because the mobile, you know, the mobile companies in Japan, it's just so fickle.
Yeah.
Like Gung Ho was a tiny company. They released Puzzles and Dragons. They became huge, you know. And Gree was massive, but you know, they've really kind of gone down since then. And Gloops, I don't know what happened to Gloops.
Oh, that whole thing was interesting. Yeah, but like, you know, the last few times that we or our emissaries were at Tokyo Game Show, you know, the mobile section just keeps growing and growing and growing.
It keeps growing, but what's weird is the companies that are the big presence keeps changing.
Right.
Like, Gree basically had its own stadium that one year we went, but now they're not number one anymore, you know. I think that's what scares me a little bit, because DNA is pretty good right now, but and these Nintendo properties will probably help them a lot, but
well, I don't know about that.
But
we can discuss, but the other thing I wanted to mention too was that it's not just the mobile thing. They also announced a unified account service for all their devices. So the new mobile devices
with, again, no details,
but you know, like presumably if it launches this fall, as they're saying, then it's going to incorporate 3DS, Wii U.
Yeah.
And then this Nintendo NX they've mentioned.
Do you think quality of life is done then? I mean, they didn't mention it in that presentation and they really haven't mentioned it much lately. Do you think it's going to go the way of the, what is it, vitality sensor?
Oh, man. Like, you just jumped the gun there hugely because I was hoping to bring that up later. But let's talk about it now.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I think going mobile, that could pair up really well because either Nintendo has to develop new hardware to get people into that kind of thing or modify the existing hardware to match it. Or they can just use the existing install base on like iOS and Android out there and release the pushes for that on those systems. Cause I mean, I guess the 3DS has most of what, you know, like the gyroscopes and pedometer and stuff. But there are a lot of free health apps out there. I happen to use one. And there's one even built into the iPhone now.
Oh, HealthKit.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe there won't be any money in it, but like having a Nintendo themed quality of life app or a suite of them could possibly be a really set them apart. Like think about your Wii Fit experiment.
Yeah. Man, I wish I would have kept that up.
Right?
But yeah. It worked. I mean, Wii Fit, it worked. The reason it didn't continue to work and that I'm not thin, buff, awesome man right now is that I got too busy to do it. But had I continued, it would have continued working.
So, I mean, something like that could still be like a flash in the pan kind of thing, but they could do it. And that would be like, everyone's been like, oh, mobile games, just port Mario to the iPhone, which is something they expressly have said that they don't want to do. They want to make
The thing that's been holding Mario back all these years was physical buttons. Sorry. That was a bit of a pot shot.
Well, that's just it, right? Like comparing to Sega, like I got some kind of All-Stars Racing. I forget which one that was exactly.
I think you got the first one, Sega and Sonic All-Stars or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I like that.
It's just called Sonic Racing. Here, let me load this up here. To see what the actual title. Yeah.
There's also one Sonic Racing Transformed, but
what this is, no.
Okay.
This was like free, so I picked it up whenever. Yeah. And it's not even like the aspect ratio of an iPhone 6 right now. Yeah, Sonic Sega All-Stars Racing. Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing. So I'm sure
they have that on all kinds of platforms, yeah.
Right, so there's tilt controls on this. Not really a fan.
Well, I mean, it's definitely not as good as having, you know, a controller, but I thought that was one of the few that worked well. What worked terribly was when they released when they had the first Sonic on, or like what was it? I downloaded some fighter. I think it was what do they call bare knuckle in English? Streets of Rage, that's it.
Yeah.
Or Golden Axe or something. Those work terribly because it's virtual buttons. Whereas I got was it not Shining Force? Shining Force, and that works fine because it's turn-based.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to make the split-second decisions. That was fine. And I guess that's the thing. I think, like, if Nintendo put on mobile, like, that Pokemon puzzle game they released recently, or Picross. I'd play Picross on my phone. Actually, I'd play Picross on anything.
Yeah, Nintendo-themed Picross? Yeah.
Empty stretch of beach, me, a stick, I would play Picross just on the ground. I like Picross.
God, they could make so many versions of that. and make so much money.
But, I mean, there's some that I, but, okay, the thing is, Nintendo's already been making quality of life apps for years.
Right.
When I got Super Mario 3D World, the quality of my life improved.
Because
it was really fun.
I was thinking of dance aerobics, but okay.
dance aerobics. All right. Do you want to just weigh some pros and cons of this? I mean, why are people upset? Why are people happy?
Oh, God. Okay, sure.
Okay.
if we have to.
Okay. First of all, why are people happy? I think some people are happy because they've been wanting Nintendo to go mobile for a long time.
Investors were happy for a couple of days until all the sellers came in.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm a little worried about right now, because I think, you know, investors are always, they don't really, you know, for a lot of the time, they're not so concerned over whether a company will continue to be profitable for a long time. They need the profits to go up so that they can sell stock, so they can, you know. So if mobile is one of those buzzwords right now, you know, it's, you know, or, you know, smartphone. That's where all the money is right now. You know, you remember the .com era where you need a website, you know.
Yeah.
And it settles down. But right now still, you know, you can wow. You know, they've been like, Nintendo, you're a technology company. You should be on smartphones. Smartphones is the future. And it probably is. But so it's one of those words that Nintendo announcing a presence there made the stock go nuts and made the investors very, very happy because they've been bugging Nintendo about it for a long time. Previously, Iwata was saying, you know, we're a games company. We need to make our dedicated hardware because that's, you know, that's what we do and it ensures blah, 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 blah.
Well, he's still saying that.
Yeah, he's still saying that, but I don't know. I wonder if this is an initiative that he really, really wanted to do or if he finally just caved to pressure. I mean, the thing is, I think that's
what has Nintendo ever caved to pressure?
good point. But I mean, I think that's going to make the difference in a situation like this, because if it really is something that's born of Nintendo, that they're thinking, we want to enter smartphone and we've found a way to do it better. We've looked at how smartphone gaming is done right now. And we don't like what we see. You know, all you're doing is searching for those whales or, you know, nickel and diming people with DLC content. If they have found a way to crack the code, if they're going to propose a uniquely Nintendo way to do it that will make people excited about their content and find a way that their content will be just as good, if not better, than the stuff that they put on dedicated platforms, or that it will support a dedicated platform, which is what they're kind of talking about right now, then I don't see a problem with it. But if it's just a cash grab, a me too, I want, you know, everybody's on smartphones, we should be on smartphones, then I can see why some people are disappointed.
And yeah, I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I doubt that there's any kind of game-changing idea they have going into this. And the Time interview that Iwata did, you know, he was asked some pretty leading questions about, you know, do you think you're going to revolutionize? You know, what are you bringing to the table that, you know, do you think you're going to do it better than anyone else does? And he was very careful to say, well, you know, no, we just want to do it our way. But yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. Like it does seem pretty clear that they do want to try something new. And it's what isn't clear is what that is, or if it would even succeed given the habits and proclivities of the mobile gaming population.
When you first heard this announcement, were you happy or sad?
I wasn't sad.
Okay.
I was expecting some kind of move eventually, I felt like whatever it was they were going to do, I probably wouldn't care about. they wouldn't be porting games, which ended up being true. Whatever they did make would probably be on the order of Puzzle and Dragons, with Mario characters or something like that. Stuff I probably wouldn't play in anyway. But might possibly, they're hoping, entice people to try their Nintendo stuff, which is also what Iwata said would happen. Like, you know, he's been saying stuff like this for years, so nothing about what that Time interview said surprised me, basically.
Okay.
So I wasn't happy, but I guess I'm glad that they're doing it now so we can get it out of the way to either shut everyone up or they'll strike gold. Or there's the third possibility, of course.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Well, to be honest, my first reaction to it was it was sadness and anger. And I know that's irrational. One shouldn't feel such an emotional reaction to a, you know, a corporate business decision. But I don't know. For me, it's just kind of... I kind of saw Nintendo as like the last bastion of gaming the way I knew and loved it. You know, Nintendo, for the most part, didn't jump on all of the online bandwagon, which for most young gamers was seen as a terrible decision by Nintendo. But for me, it kept a lot of the experiences contained the way I liked it. They were a pure gaming company that made console games. They didn't make computer games. They didn't make, I guess they did make trading cards, you know, but I mean, for the most part, they concentrated on what they did. And a lot of people, you know, were complaining that Nintendo was stagnant because they almost never changed. But for me, that kept it that they were making the experiences that I liked.
Right. That makes sense.
So, I mean, it's not that I'm against smartphone games. In fact, I would love for Nintendo to bring some life into smartphone games because, as I said, I've pretty much gotten out of them, with a few minor exceptions. You know, I don't really buy games on my phones anymore. I kind of because when they first started coming out, a lot of them were pretty unique experiences for a small amount of money. Or, you know, ports of classics for, again, a small amount of money. Now, most games are free, but with the timed turn system or the needing to buy DLC and that type of just time-wasting game, I'm just not into. Of course, there's still some really good experiences being made, as you introduced me to one recently with Framed.
Ah, yes, which we'll talk about next episode, which we recorded before this one. It's confusing.
Yeah, sorry about
just,
it.
Just got, well, this news broke, so we had to we bumped yeah. it. We yeah. bumped it.
But anyway, you know, what I'm worried about, my main worry, and I think this is a worry shared by some people. I mean, this is not a the sky is falling announcement, but what I am worried about is. The reality of the matter is Nintendo has limited resources. Mm. Right now they're struggling to support two platforms with the 3DS and the Wii U. It's really hard for them to make enough games because third parties are so not there, you know?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to stretch themselves even thinner. Yes, the games are going to be made by a partner of DNA, but...
Well, they said that they were still going to make the games, and DNA is more for the service side of things.
I guess. So there's Nintendo devoting assets. Now, and if they want to make these smartphone games good and that they do well, you know, what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to bring their A-teams too. Or hopefully... And someone mentioned this in our comments, and I totally agree with it. They should bring people like the people who are doing Splatoon, you know, the young guns, the new generation. Maybe they should keep the old fogies around to make games for the old fogies like me that we still like, and let some of the new blood go to mobile. But at the same time, I want those new ideas, you know, on a dedicated console. The thing is, I realize that my wants and desires are not good business sense. Consoles are dying, and that's unfortunate. I mean, at least in Japan. In America, I don't know, PS4 and Xbox One brought some life into it, but just in general, they're not what they used to be.
Now, year-to-date sales, I think, for all the consoles are below last generation's.
Yeah, but I mean, they still have a place, and I'm not saying there, some of these the sky is falling predictions, you know, are really too much. But at the same time, I don't see how, other than, you know, bringing in a lot of new staff, making a lot of new teams, making a lot of new departments, which frugally conservative Nintendo never really does, then there will be some loss to dedicated hardware. It's just the laws of physics there. You can't create more of what is not there, you know. There will necessarily be a loss through dedicated hardware. Now, maybe the Nintendo NX, it's NX, right?
NX, yeah. Like,
NX.
Like I think like next, I think next, that's what they're going for. Yeah.
Next. Or non-existent. Sorry.
Oh, Phantom was already taken.
But okay. Anyway, if it is what a lot of people think it's going to be, which is that blending of a mobile and television system, then that's one less platform Nintendo needs to develop for.
Right.
And so, but the thing is, you and I haven't even talked about this, but one of the first things that I thought of within, you know, minutes of hearing the announcement is Osborne Effect.
Ooh. And someone mentioned that on the Facebook page too, but my response to that is that the Wii U has been out long enough and it's already a proven or unproven quantity that I don't think it's too far into its life cycle to get a resurgence, I think.
But really. What about the 3DS, though?
Well, the 3DS has been out longer and it's already had its resurgence.
Yeah, but the new 3DS came out, what, a month ago?
In the States.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's a much bigger market than Japan.
They didn't say anything, though. You always know that Nintendo's developing something new.
Well, that's the other thing. Remember, I mean, they were like, the announcement was Nintendo's building a new console. So I clicked the thread because, of course, I find out everything for the first time on NeoGAF. But anyway.
Oh, sure.
So I clicked the thread expecting like a prototype or mock-up or some specs. And it's just like Nintendo reveals that they are developing a system called the Nintendo NX. And I'm like, really? Nintendo spent the last 3 years working on new hardware? I had no idea. they do research and development? I thought they just, you know, magic. You know, well, of course. Like, so that announcement was a complete non-announcement, as far as I'm concerned, because they didn't tell us anything, like not anything at all. Like,
about
is
the
it
next
a handheld?
System, yeah.
Is it a handheld? Is it? It's just like, it's weird. It would
you
be
had
like
some pretty choice words for how you felt about them tacking that on in the end.
Okay, yeah, because. For me, it so seemed like they were like, okay, a lot of people are going to freak out when we announce that we're going mobile. We better have something for those people. We better throw them a bone, whatever. But for me, it totally felt like one of those announcements where you're like, well, of course, honey, of course I remembered your birthday. No. This was the plan the whole time. I ordered you something. It hasn't arrived yet, but when it does, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's a very thoughtful gift. It's called Birthday Gift NX. You know, it's or whatever.
And that's just the code name. Find out what it is when it comes out. When you get
you unwrap it. And then immediately after talking with the wife, he jumps on Amazon and goes, oh, I better order something. You know, I mean, it's not a great analogy because it's definite that Nintendo has something that they've been working on. Probably the prototype was that. But this reveal didn't seem it really seemed like a oh, and also don't get too worked up because we've got this coming. No details.
All right.
That one actually kind of made me upset. Mm. Because it was the definition of a non-announcement. It was
yeah, it's like you're running for political office and I'll announce my decision to announce a decision.
Yeah.
Next week's Leno.
The Nintendo NX is the Hillary Clinton of video game announcements.
Ah.
Cuz everybody knows. Come on.
Is the NX a private email server?
Wow.
Is that what they're hiring DNA for?
That's not where I was going with this. But I mean everybody knows she's planning to, you know, to be a candidate, but she's still like thinking about it, you know. And then like when she finally does announce it, it'll be on a talk show or something. She's going to go, "And I've decided to run for president." And everyone's like, "Well, duh."
There was a great SNL bit about that like a week or two ago. Ah, so good.
SNL. Strangely enough, they have that on Japanese Hulu, but the musical acts are cut out due to
same on the US Hulu.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So it's really funny. It's like, "We'd like to thank our musical act." I'm like, "Where did they come from?"
Like the one exception I saw recently was the 40th anniversary special.
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't watched that yet. Was it good?
Parts of it. You probably if you watch any videos on Facebook, you've probably watched them all.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, everyone's like, "Look, Nintendo's got a new console. It's coming out." And what did I say? What was the first thing I said? I think I wrote to you like, "I'll believe it when I see it."
Yeah. It was like, when has Nintendo not released a console that they, you know, said was going to be coming?
And then I immediately went the Super Nintendo CD and the 64 DD.
Yeah. To which I said this,
it doesn't count their add-ons.
Yeah. Their add-ons. And the 64DD came out, and you said only in Japan. All right, fine.
Yep. So I mean, I will admit to overreacting at first. It's because I feel like as the generations go on, gaming is starting to leave me a little bit behind. Because smartphone games are huge now. And so are like online games with season passes and lots of DLC and stuff like that. And since those games don't appeal to me so much, you know, I've been sticking with Nintendo a lot more lately because of as much as we've complained about them in the last couple of months about their weird selling policies and stuff like that, they still made a game where like if a Nintendo Nintendo produced or published it, I had a fairly good chance that it would be a game that I would like. And I guess that's what scares me. I am resistant to change in the video game market. But the thing is that very resistance to change in the video game market is probably why Nintendo's in the situation it is right now.
Well, follow me if you will, then, because I've been formulating the theory while you've been.
I'm following. Okay. Lay down the breadcrumbs, for I am hungry.
Hopefully, at the end. Yeah, I got no more metaphor for that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. I mean, the first thing I was thinking was that, you know, there are people who love to chide Nintendo for when they're behind on trends.
Yeah.
And be like, "Oh, if only Nintendo did this, this, and this, they make so much money. I'm a genius. They should hire me." And people I know have done this. We've done that recently.
Hold on. Before we go any farther, I want to use our magical powers.
Oh, yes.
Because we have this amazing thing of talking about something and having the opposite come true shortly after.
Oh, good grief. So
I apologize right now to the Democratic National Committee because we might have just made Hillary Clinton not run.
I don't think it would be us so much as the Nintendo NX in her off. Anyway.
Okay. Let's use this power for a good thing. Shenmue 3 will never come out. Okay. Now you can continue.
Oh, my God. No. Well, yeah. So, like while all this is happening, too, Kojima's officially announced that he's left Konami, but that's a whole other subject. Oh, God.
I bet he's going to head up the Nintendo Mobile division.
Oh, good Lord. All right. So on the side where Nintendo doesn't follow trends, people give them crap all the time, but they're still around as opposed to, say, Sega, right? Yeah. Like, Sega's around, but they're not a big profitable, like, Nintendo's still one of the most profitable companies in Japan.
I believe so. Yeah.
So they're the prognostications of doom have never come true so far. And Nintendo has innovated, you know, throughout its life, and it's where it catches people by surprise, and they still get crap for it. Like, I remember thinking that the Wii Remote was a stupid thing. Yep. And yet what happens? You had the Xbox 360 was already out in the market. They developed the Kinect. PS3 got the Move later. Like, yep. You know, even as recently as the last generation, they were doing innovative things,
and
Nintendo's
still
a trendsetter in some ways, right?
The 3D screen on the 3DS,
right?
No one, I think a couple of smartphones had done it, but no one did it as predominantly or as well.
Right.
That was amazing. Not a feature I particularly use, usually turn it off, but, you know, it's definitely an innovation. And for me, the gamepad on the Wii U, whereas many people consider that the reason the Wii U failed because nobody knew what it was developers didn't do much with it, off TV play made it my most played console in a long, long time. It was the killer feature for me.
Right. Not only that, but like, it's like my Wii U is my like my set top box for television, right? And I use the fact that Netflix and Hulu, to a slightly lesser extent, are able to flip to the gamepad very easily.
Yeah.
And take it around with me as I need to. Very, very useful, and I can't imagine replacing that, even though I think I have those services authorized in all my devices. But, you know, Nintendo can only follow in the mobile realm, right? Like, as far as developing mobile stuff. Now, what they make could be innovative. I'm not really holding my breath. I don't think that's really what their plan is either. But like the 3D screen you mentioned, Nintendo didn't develop that. They found a company that was making it, invested in them and or bought them. Same with the Rumble feature and the GameCube controllers that other companies snatched up, didn't license properly. Microsoft, I believe, either had a settlement or like bought the company eventually. Something. There was money that changed hands. Sony got dinged, which is why you have the 6-axis in the first place.
Yep.
But, they have a history of finding unique technologies and gamifying them.
Yes.
So that's where their innovation comes in. They make something more broad and appealing. And I think all of this is why I'm confident of two things for their next system.
Okay.
One, it's not going to even come even close to power-wise rivaling even the current generation systems out there.
I totally agree. If it turns out to be that hybrid portable, I'm guessing the Wii U is the base, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they kept that as their base hardware or something similar to it. That would be nice. I'm not holding my breath because we're...
No.
This is the third generation they've built off, like, what, PowerPC architecture or something? Yep. You know, they're due for a change at this point. They can't keep that train going forever. But, yeah, I think they're going to trade that horsepower for that quasi-mobile thing that's going to be happening here. and they'll have to. So I think that's why these rumors about the hybrid console are probably true, because it's, this seems like it was out of nowhere, this mobile announcement, but maybe, like you were suggesting, you know, going down to one platform or one unified platform, shortens the development pipeline, and focuses them on one piece of dedicated hardware so that they could pursue a mobile strategy.
Yeah.
So I think they've been thinking about this for a long time. Like, you know, the Rusty's
Real Deal. Yes. I was just going to mention that the hints have been there for a long time. Rusty's Real Deal. I like how they do DLC there.
Right. And that was innovative. That was really good.
That was innovative. Yeah.
Those mini games are something that I would play. And it did remind me a bit of, like, you know, WarioWare. I mean, speaking of which, that's a great game that they could port or make a new version of for mobile, because it's just made for it. You know,
oh, totally.
You have like one, maybe two buttons in any of those games.
There was WarioWare Touch as well, which could, half of those games could be ported without doing anything. But the thing is, there's where I'm scared, though, because I don't want another WarioWare game on mobile that would mean, no, I do want a WarioWare game on mobile. Let me take that back.
What if Nintendo fans hated sequels to games they already owned?
I want a WarioWare game on mobile, but I don't want the trade-off to be that I'll never have one on a console again. That's what I'm scared of.
I never enjoyed the console WarioWare. Well, not never. I guess Smooth Moves was good.
I am enjoying Game & Wario more than critics would have me expect.
But it's one of those. It's not quite the same as WarioWare, though.
I suppose so. I suppose.
Not quite.
Although I've never really played a mobile WarioWare so much other than the DS one, I played the GameCube one that was basically a port with additional modes of the Game Boy Advance one.
Mm, right.
But anyway.
The GameCube one. The micro, yeah.
I quite like that, actually.
I really enjoyed the Othello feature they had for the multiplayer. That was fun. But I guess this also addresses a concern I've had about video gaming in general, which is I just feel like it costs too much. and maybe if these mobile entries are good, then I'll shift some of my cash there, and then I'll feel better about only once in a while pursuing deals for $40 games that shouldn't be a problem for me, but somehow are, and I'll drop $70 on Dragon Age Without Batting an Eye. I guess I've always felt like since the Wii especially, that Nintendo's like approach and quality, not quality, but just sensibility, better matched a lower price point in gaming. But at the same time, I don't think they're suffering really, at least not more than other companies, because they still can and do charge $40 for a 3DS game. So I don't think they're going to try and undercut their own profits. And there was that Wired article by Chris Kohler that, he referenced an early quote he made about how you don't get a little bit pregnant, and this is going to erode the base on which their console and dedicated hardware foundation is built. But I think that base is already eroding just because it's hurting for all the console manufacturers. And what I see is Nintendo actually trying to evolve and survive, whereas the other console makers doubled down and went PC architecture.
It all depends how they do it. It really, that's the thing. Chris Kohler might be right. And the people who are saying that this is going to be the most profitable, wonderful renaissance of Nintendo, they might be right too. It all depends how Nintendo takes this forward. They've put the message out there, but there's no details yet. We don't know. It's very possible that it could erode what Nintendo has made if they follow the same path as other smartphone makers, smartphone game
right,
makers.
Like
take Square Enix, who released, what was that, All the Bravest, that one that required no skill whatsoever, that Final Fantasy just rip off game. Cost like $4 plus an additional dollar for every character, and there was no skill involved in the game at all. It was just an absolute cash in. And then of course a lot of the Square games where they just ended support for them for the newer devices.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo goes that path, sure, they're going to erode their market, you know? Absolutely. I mean, if they release a bunch of junk. So what Iwata was saying in that speech was that we're going to focus on a smaller number of things and keep supporting them.
Right.
But it's all talk until we actually see something right now. The NX is all talk until we see something. The thing is, Nintendo, at this point, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt more than any other company. Mm. Because their products usually do, even if they're not successful, they usually do deliver what they said. If Peter Molyneux was announced...
Oh, God.
Nintendo was going mobile, then there'd be a little bit of doubt. But so far, Nintendo hasn't made moves to make me doubt them too much. Go ahead.
I think Kohler was right in that onboarding new customers through mobile is going to be a lot harder than they think it's going to be. Because they're just going to go for Nintendo's brand and then be like, oh, okay. But, you know, there's the Amiibo out there, and that might suck some people in, you know, if you can ever buy any. but if they can make a game that makes me want to give them more money, then that would make all the difference in this market, I think. And like Rusty's is just one such game.
If people aren't familiar with Rusty's, it was a baseball game released that had DLC that could be basically haggled for. Yeah. Depending on what scores in games or achievements and things like that, or what presents you gave him based on things you earned in game, right?
So you still paid money, but like what you ended up paying was less than it could be, and it's kind of a cap because you only get so many dollar off coupons and whatnot. But like they made the art of buying more DLC into a mini game in and of itself, which was just brilliant.
I thought that was good. I wonder if they'd even be able to do things like that with the existing app stores that they have. Because if they're putting these things on iOS, you know, they need to give Apple their cut, and on the Play Store they need to give Google their cut. You know, so I wonder how, and of course DNA needs a cut as well. So I wonder how flexible it's going to be, but hopefully, it can incorporate. Oh man, I just had a scary thought.
What's that?
No, this will never happen. Okay. Oh no, now that I've said it, it's going to happen.
No. If you say it, it won't happen.
Oh, okay, good. I forgot how it worked. The Nintendo NX, what if it's powered by Android?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I really hope not. But, like, if they really wanted to make it, you know, all cross, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, please, no. Nintendo would never do it. They're too concerned about piracy. And that's just inviting steal all our games.
What if they are pursuing a largely ARM strategy with this console, though?
Well, I mean, isn't the 3DS and back to even the DS already kind of ARM powered?
I don't know. But, like, you
know.
I think so. I think my iPhone 6 is one of the most powerful computers I've ever owned.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I'm more and more convinced that this hybrid console thing is going to be true.
Yeah, I think so. And all right,
which means it's not going to happen now.
I don't know how it works, but can we probably say that that physical media is on a you know, if this is a hybrid console, I think we're going to be a download thing.
Discless. You know what I
mean? Yeah, I don't. It doesn't seem to me as something that, unless they continue like the 3DS cartridges are fairly high capacity right now. Mm-hmm. But like, other than some like Vita or 3DS type flash memory type thing, I can't imagine that if there's a hybrid, they're going to make it take any form of disk.
Okay.
So
that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
And you know how I am about physical media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, maybe that's a good point to transition.
So let's talk about one of those disappearing physical media cartridges that I cling so tenaciously to. My pile of shame is Fire Emblem Awakening.
What's that? What system is that for?
3DS.
Okay.
And I have it. It's on top of my television right now, still in its shrink wrap. Oh, it's still in its shrink wrap. I better get that into Club Nintendo. That's ending real soon.
Oh, yeah. By the time this podcast comes out, there will be only a few days left. So.
Okay, so if you're clinging to any physical media that hasn't been registered, and when's our last day to use those points? Is that also the end of this month?
March 31st. So when this Yikes. So there's like 4 days after this podcast comes out.
Got about 400 points in there. Any recommendation?
Oh gosh, if you haven't gotten any exclusive stuff yet, like Doc Lewis or Dr. Luigi or that the Grilloff. Stuff like
good?
That.
Good? Is the Grilloff any good?
It's 80 points. Just get it.
Yeah, if I have anything left, that's what I'll pick up. But oh man, I hate the content disappear. Okay, no.
There was a game that was sold out, quote unquote, for new codes because of a new version that came out. I forgot what it was. And it doesn't even matter anymore. But like you know, the idea that like a digital copy could get sold out was just that's amazing.
That's ridiculous. Ooh. Speaking of things that are sold out, and considering that most new phones have some kind of near field system, there's probably going to be Amiibos on the mobile apps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's yeah. I buy it.
Yeah.
I probably will buy it. I've been staring at this my unopened Captain Falcon Amiibo this whole podcast with his kick taunting me. Let me out. I'll show you my moves. Anyway.
Yeah, let me out. I'll decrease my value. Yeah.
So
Fire Emblem Awakening. Very happy with the GameCube Fire Emblem I've been playing. So it is not for not wanting to play Fire Emblem Awakening. I actually played through the demo and I loved it. And actually that's what got me into playing the GameCube one because I liked the demo of Awakening so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I might just crack it open. Like, just because they're not really connected story-wise so much. I mean, they've got, you know, there's different generations and some of the games are connected, but I hear Fire Emblem Awakening pretty much stands on its own and you don't lose much by not having played the earlier games. And I might because it's got a really nice fast battle system from the demo that I played and it just looks like a lot of fun. It's shameful for me because I was so insistent that I get it right away. But the thing is, maybe I'm glad I did because with Nintendo games, who knows?
Right.
You know?
If you want the physical copy.
If you see it, buy it. If you see it, buy it.
Okay. So speaking of see it and buy it, I did finally get a copy of Majora's Mask 3D.
Oh, good.
But it's pretty much...
Because you love mobile Zeldas.
Yes, thank you for that lovely introduction. Yeah, so those of you who have listened to the podcast before know that Minish Cap is on my pile of shame. I have been picking it up lately and trying to play through it, and I got stuck because I didn't remember what I was supposed to be doing despite the helpful hint from my hat whenever you load up the game. What I'm supposed to do next. It turns out I had to do a spin attack for a guard to get past him. But I went all through that Hyrule town backwards and forwards, which apparently I was supposed to do. But I was so lost for a long time. But I figured it out. But anyway, I got through that, still playing it. So it's not really on my pile of shame right now. But I also picked up Majora's Mask, like I said. And I got as far as the intro screen, got turned into a Deku kid, and...
Yep.
I think I wasn't able to save yet or something, so I just closed the 3DS. I hope it's still running. Anyway, neither of those games are really on my pile of shame right now because I am eking through them slowly.
Okay.
And mostly due to the fact I'm playing Dragon Age still, and I can't really play other games right now, including a bunch of stuff on Wii U, which is my pile of shame too. But
do the herbs get lonely if you don't come back every now and then?
You know, funny story. I did take a screenshot just for you. I wanted to show you where
okay.
There's a world map, right? And there's missions you can do on the world map. And one of them, near one of the main hubs for the game world, is just called Gather Herbs. I thought I'd let you know that. But
I'm happy about that. Okay.
But I wanted to talk about Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass. So we're going back all the way to the DS here.
I keep forgetting that one existed.
I know. And there's Spirit Tracks after it, which I haven't even played. But I was having a hard time playing it when I originally bought the game and started playing through it. And I just kind of put it down because I wasn't really a fan of the touch controls. So that's a point against having Zelda on mobile. But, you know, it wasn't bad. It was just harder to play. And I had to really sit down and concentrate on, like, you know, other Zelda games that I play. And I lost that DS along with that cartridge. But I did buy it again like 2 or 3 years ago. I want to say 3 because 2 years ago I picked it up again and started playing it. And then that's when the whole moving thing started happening. So I haven't picked it up since. Yeah. So I've tried to play this game twice now and have failed miserably. And now I have two newer, I guess Minish Cap isn't newer, but I have two other Zelda games I'd rather finish first at this point. I don't know when I'll get back to it. But if you don't even know if you forgot it even existed, I don't know. Have you finished it?
No.
I think I'm pretty much at the exact same point I was the first time I played it and stopped.
It's not that I think it's a bad Zelda game. I mean, I don't think so. But like, there's so many other Zelda games I'd play before I played that. I don't know. Maybe. And Spirit Tracks, to tell you the truth, I never bought it, but the concept sounds intriguing to me because I've always liked trains, a little bit at least. And I don't know. I think those will be good ones to play. But I don't know. For me, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to ever top Link's Awakening as a portable Zelda.
Oh, right, and that was the first one. So.
And that was the first one, and I don't know. And for me, Majora's Mask on the portable, I don't know. I guess good. I don't know. Didn't buy it. Not really planning to buy it.
Well, I was at the checkout, and I did. But anyone who's curious, I did end up using one of my $5 coupons, the one that hadn't expired yet. But,
good job.
Thanks. But I talked to the cashier, and he's like, you know, I played this in an emulator a while ago. Probably shouldn't be saying that out loud. I thought it still held up because I was concerned that I played it 15 years ago on the N64 and I have rose colored glasses maybe. He's like, no, yeah. I think it's still a good game. And from what I experienced, the 3D, the upgraded models and the textures, it still looks gorgeous. So I think I'm going to be okay with this one going forward.
All right.
So, I think that's all we have for this week then. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Pat O on our Facebook page for having the faith in us to voice our opinion.
Pat O, that was the most, what can I say? One of the most angry, profanity-laced fan letters we've ever gotten. It was basically like, don't post other articles, you guys got to do it yourself because you guys you've got the power.
He thinks you know more than Chris Kohler, which is just adorable. But
I like Chris Kohler. I met him at a bar once. He was a nice guy.
And now you're published in the same magazine, so
we are published in the same
magazine. There you go.
Chris Kohler, if you're listening, I would like to go out for drinks with you. I think we've got a lot to talk about.
Should we invite him on the show? Oh, that's too much. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Sure.
Anything could happen. You might get a t-shirt. So Pat, if you're listening, and you probably are, yes. Thanks for encouraging us. We'll make you an honorary sponsor for this episode for convincing us to bump our other already recorded episode. Which we should mention that I think you say at one point that you hope Nintendo never goes mobile. So we'll preface it when the actual episode comes out too.
Yeah. But yeah, Pato, you really got us thinking about it. I stayed up following that thread way later than I should have. I should have been in bed. I was about to go to bed and then I saw these posts. Well thought out stuff, and let's I think it let us fine tune what we were thinking about it. And I think, you are the unofficial sponsor of this episode.
We'll also link in the show notes the Time interview with Awada that we mentioned, as well as Chris Kohler's Wired article, because they're both good food for thought. And Pat also linked the actual video of the investors meeting, so that people who were freaking out should just watch that and didn't need the Time article, because he said a lot of the same things already.
Yep.
But all right. So I guess until next week, which is already recorded, the dojo is...
Already recorded.
Next
week, the dojo is losing resources due to making a mobile version as a podcast, which is why the videos are suffering.
Yeah.
Stupid mobile. Okay.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.